Well, the clock has just struck 10 o'clock on my clock. My name is Robin. I'm one of the co-hosts on today's webinar, Three Ways to Find Your Niche. And with me should be Nick. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Robin. Good to be with you today.
Yeah, likewise. So we've just started. It's 10 o'clock. We've just started broadcasting and we see attendees joining us. We usually give a few minutes to allow everyone to join fully. While we're waiting, we'd like participants to use the chat box. If you have a look at your dashboard, you'll find a chat box option, chat. Please give us in the chat box, just type your first name and where you're dialing in from, a city or a country. If outside the UK, please include the country. Catherine from Paris, hello.
And Megan from Edinburgh. Scottish participants.
Zana from Croatia. Hello, welcome.
Excellent. Also, Melanie from Stockholm in Sweden. Good morning to you too.
We've got loads of people from the UK. Trish, Allegra, Jennifer, Joe.
And Crystal from China. I'm hoping that this time zone, this time is working for you. I'm guessing it's late afternoon there or early evening.
Yeah. What time is it, Crystal, in China? It must be evening time.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, we have a very international audience, Robin. That's great.
That's really great. That's really good. So I still see a few more people coming in. If you've just joined us, welcome. We are practicing using the chat box. If you haven't already, please give us, just let us know your first name and the country and or city that you're dialing in from. Just stick it in the chat box. Nikki from Belgium. Wow, it really is a fantastic audience. Beijing, 7 hours ahead.
Crystal's in London for the fast track. Good to have you, Crystal.
Anya from Germany.
Enjoying the downtime between courses for even further study. That's dedication for you. Teresa from Mumbai in India.
That's what I love about this work, Nick, is, I mean, look at that audience, Mumbai, Germany, Switzerland, China, Croatia, all Denmark.
Well, we often say that when people are coming into the co-active work, that one of the benefits that they have is a connection to a truly international audience, alumni support network, and, you know, here's a representation of that. You know, often just a couple of clicks away from someone in another country or another geography or indeed another industry that can provide us with advice or support in furthering our business or however we may be choosing to use coaching.
Exactly. I'm going to answer a quick question. Catherine has made a question out in the Q&A box saying that she only gets audio, no video, and she stopped hearing. So, Catherine, there's no video of faces, but you should see the first slide. So could another participant in the chat box just, can you hear us clearly and can you see the slide, the welcome slide?
Yeah,
okay, that's all good.
Hi, Paula Sherlock. Good to hear you on the line. I remember the courses I led for you. Hi, Allegra. Good to see you in another context too. So lots of familiar faces too. So those of you that I've led a course for, or Robin has led a course or an intro for, hello to you too. Good to be in conversation with you again. Regarding the slides, if for some reason you can't see them and you just have audio, we will describe them, okay? That's something we can commit to, right, Rob?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So thank you for everyone for using the chat box, telling us where you're from. We're gonna launch a poll or two to find a bit more about you, our audience, so Nick and I can just be aware of how to tailor our communication to you today. So if you're watching your screen, I'm gonna launch a poll. You should see it on the poll. You need to choose one of those answers. Nick, can you see the poll?
I can indeed, yeah. So they are essentially three choices. The question is, where are you on your coaching journey? And the three responses are still in training, recently completed the training, or been running my own coaching practice for, I would say, it says a few years already. You can assume that that means a while, you know. You've been running your practice for a while.
Well, 70% of people have voted so far. Let's get that up as high as possible. Just a few more people to answer. Okay, well, let's close that. Thank you for your input. Let's end that poll. Share results. So there's the results. Still in training is the bulk. Still in training, so still completing the core curriculum and or certification. Recently completed the training, 33%, and a very small percentage have been coaching for many years. So welcome to you who've been coaching for some years already.
Well, my assumption from these results, Robin, is simply that the majority of people on the call are in the process of figuring things out. You know, where do I stand as a coach? What's next? Maybe I already know, but I'm not 100% confident about what's next or how to develop it further. So, you know, hopefully we can tailor the content directly towards empowering you and providing tools and questions you can ask yourself to at least establish the next several steps on your path towards establishing a solid coaching business, or indeed how you choose to use coaching within a portfolio career, or indeed within internal coach environment.
Exactly. And you know, and to that point, Allegra put a chat in, and yes, Allegra makes perfect sense. It's yes, you've been coaching for a while and you want to explore how to get niche rather than just coach, if that makes sense. I think it does.
It does indeed, yeah.
So there's another poll for us. Could you answer one more poll for us, please?
The question says, do you know your niche already? And the answers are, yes, I'm certain. Second answer is, maybe I have ideas. Third one is, no, not yet. And the fourth one is, I have no idea what a niche is. And so join the call to find out more. I like that one.
So we're up to 72%, 75%, 82%. Fantastic. A few more. Great. Can I close it soon? Yeah, that's it. I think we're there. Going to share results. So there you go. The majority of you have some ideas. A few of you, no, not at all. And a couple of you are certain about your niche already. We'd love to hear from you. Throw it in the chat box. Just what's your current pointing around niche?
Yeah, indeed. You know, and we may call upon you, those of you who are certain, to jump in and offer your own examples. And I think that's a context we want to establish, Robin, isn't it? We're not offering neither a prescription or a definitive plan here. We're offering some wisdom based on experience about the process of establishing one's niche. Of course, it's not the definitive. And we welcome your ideas, participation about what works. So.
And for the majority of you who have ideas, that's great ideas and fodder, if you like, for this webinar, because we're going to deepen that, we hope.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So, Nick, should we just some brief introductions and maybe obviously weave in where that stands within niching?
Yeah, indeed. Are you inviting me to go first?
Yeah, please.
Some of you on the line, I see from the names, know me as a trainer of either the intermediate series or the certification program. So you're probably familiar with my bio. The short version for those of you who don't know is I used to be a journalist, had a successful journalist portfolio, probably financially less successful. I used to write for The Observer in the UK, as well as The Ecologist magazine, The Times from time to time, as well as a bunch of business magazines. And my specialism really was in campaign journalism towards the end. And I enjoyed seeking out what I thought the truth was. I made the transition to coaching in 2006-2007 because I realized that what I was really interested in my interviewees was who they were. Journalists are about exposing people, maybe what they don't want to expose. And I realized I was way too nice to people that I should have been kind of putting the boot in with. So I realized that I was more interested in exposing what was great about people. So the transition was easy for me. Although I was able to benefit from my experience as a journalist, a writer, and an editor in developing my career, because some of the skills from that career were transferable. And as I'm going to go on to share with you later today, my experience as a journalist did help me establish my first niche as a coach. So there's more to tell there. Since becoming a coach, I have been certified since 2010 and been a trainer with CTI for the last 4 years, teaching the whole course from fundamentals through to the end of certification. I love this work. Coaching for me is about the transformation of human consciousness. I think that's the game that we're really up to. I think it's the only game in town, given the mess the world is in today. And yet there are thousands of different ways in which we can affect that transformation of consciousness. Bottom line for me is wherever people are, we have an opportunity to do that through the lens of coactive coaching. And I think that's the foundation of a good niche. It's like that desire to touch people, desire to transform people. And then where do I do that? What's the arena? What's the context in which I can establish a frame in which that transformation can happen? And that's what we're going to try and dive into a little bit more today. What about you, Robin? How do you come to this work?
Yeah, Nick, thanks for that. I just want to add a comment to what you were saying about the consciousness piece. It's kind of bringing heart back to our decision making and how we show up in the world, not just us, but our clients. And that's how we're changing the world, is because, you know, if some of us view the world as, you know, we've got ourselves into a mess in some places, one of the big solutions, I think the solution, is exactly what you spoke to, that opening of consciousness. Which means more than just the rational mind, right?
Yes, indeed.
And coactive coaching does that. So my journey to coaching, as many of you will know, because I recognize so many names, corporate life. I spent several years in a corporate leadership role, got wound up by that, learned a very high-pressured environment, and developed a leadership style that was founded on coaching. Because I found it as very effective and aligned with who I am. And after leaving that corporate life, I was intent on becoming a coach. It took a few years to get to that place. I had to pluck up the courage to spend the money, and two, to actually pursue something that I wasn't sure I could make a career out of or be good at or make money out of. And I, a few years back, I took on that path. Never regret it, and got so much more from it than what I expected. And with regards to, and I work full-time for CTI for the last couple of years, and I coach, I'm now what I would call a part-time coach, and I hold a small group of clients between 5 and 10, no more than 10, because that gets a bit much with a full-time job. And with regard niching, I've been quite fierce with not pinning myself down to a niche, but rather exploring. And one of the techniques we're going to come to happens to be one of these. And I did it not with a plan, but rather just naturally. And I'll contribute to this through the webinar, that it's been really interesting observing what's showing up.
Yeah.
So I want to say more about that, because that's going to come into our later presentation.
Well, you're giving a sneak preview, right?
Yeah, sneak preview. But Nick, it's great. because it's, as you've always said, it's like there are different ways to find our niche, right?
Indeed. And, you know, the fact that you and I have had different experiences, I think, is going to enrich the conversation today. And likewise, that's why we really call on you participants to contribute via the chat box.
Okay. Great. So let's jump in.
Okay, let's do it. I'm ready. So the slide before you, do you want to introduce and describe the slide, Rob?
Yeah, it's two birds in a nest.
Two birds in a nest, yeah. And for those of you who can't see the screen, the question says, what is a niche? And there's two birds. One bird is standing in a nest, and then there's another bird flying into the nest to help make the nest, right? So, well, let's answer that first question straight away. What is a niche? Niche is a French word, and anyone who speaks French here who wants to correct me specifically, go ahead. Niche is a French word for nest. There's also a reflexive verb that uses niche as its root, which is se nicher, which means to nest or to roost. So effectively, it's the process of making a nest. And I think that's, you know, when we looked into this, I think it's really a beautiful metaphor for niche. It is about somewhere that we are going to feel at home in. And I think that's I just want to take a moment to let that land with you. Yeah. Yes, I know that niche is the dog's house. Yes, it is also that. But it's also a nest. So it's somewhere. Thank you very much for that, Lauren. I appreciate that one. But it's a place where we feel at home. Okay.
And what's that got to do with coaching?
Well, I think what it's got to do with coaching in terms of finding one's niche is that a good benchmark for you when you find your niche is, do you feel at home in it? Is there something about it that allows you to feel as if you can make it, it's as if you were a bird making a nest, that this is something that you can feel at home in? It's a good reference point as you begin this process. And it's something that you're going to know, you know, you're going to feel the resonance of your choices. And that's something that you should be very careful to check with.
What do we know about nests and homes is that our homes mostly take on a character or a good representation of who we are, like, and vice versa. Like, we build a home, where do we feel comfortable? It's a representation of our own character, who we are as people, right?
Well, yes, absolutely. And I love that. You're looking, the picture that we have here, I think they're two herons, and, you know, they're building a really big nest. But to your point, you know, using the metaphor of a nest and a bird, you know, each nest is unique, dependent on the bird. And I think from that metaphor, we can establish that there is both a being and a doing of the process of finding your niche, right? The being would be, you know, who am I? You know, what kind of bird am I? You know, and that from there, that begins to also define the nest that I make for myself, which is the doing of establishing your own marketplace.
So if niche is the marketplace, let's say the home of your coaching and you as the bird, as the coach, it's like, what nest am I going to build? What niche am I going to choose that makes me allows me to be most, not comfortable is the wrong word, but to be me, who I am.
Yeah, absolutely. And so there has to be congruence between your desire and the choices you make. You know, so if you choose to be a coach of, dads or mothers, you know, or a parent coach, you should have some passion for that. You know, there's a correlation that you're looking for there. But if we take a step back, one step back further, it's important before we jump in and try and grasp hold of something outside of ourselves, you know, whether it, that defines a specific marketplace, that we're confident in who we are as a coach. And that's where the process of niching begins. And it's what we want to begin to explore with you now to the best of, we want to begin that process with you now by having you reflect on where are you strong and confident as a coach. And what we mean is not what you coach, but who you are. What are you known for? What do your clients appreciate about you as a coach? who you are being as a coach.
I want to share what was coming up for me as we were talking. The minute we landed on the slide and we started describing the nest and the bird, I had a little bit of a level one, maybe a little bit of saboteur thing pop up in myself and thought, damn, I feel like a bird flying around and I don't have a nest. And I'm like, but after hearing what you've just said, I thought, actually, I feel better because I'm figuring out what type of bird I am before I build my nest.
Yeah, sure. And you know, once you're there, you can fly confidently and look around for a nice branch to build it on. You know, there's less insecurity there. So I think that's what we want to have you reflect on now. And take a moment. This is like an active inquiry for all of you participants, is to the best of your ability, with courage as well, is take a chance to claim where you feel confident as a coach. What are the characteristics that you have as a person, as a human being, for which that make you effective as a coach? Is it your humor? Is it your charm? Is it your excitement and enthusiasm? Is it that you're edgy? Is it that you're spacious? We really want you to begin to confidently claim one or two words that define you and how you interact and the impact that you have with your clients. So we're going to give you a moment to reflect on that, and please feel free to report that back in. You don't have to put your name, but that would be useful if you do.
Yeah, and by that means just any comments, throw it in the chat box if you'd like to.
And Laura Ann, thank you very much for your reply there. I never thought about niche like that. Finding your niche is building a home. I love it. Thanks for the beautiful image. Yeah, it is. I mean, a business is somewhere that you should feel nourished by, you know, not an obligation. So do we have any responses yet? Does anyone want to write in?
Yeah, I bet there's loads of thoughts and ideas going on.
Yeah, they're starting to get some responses now. Yeah, good.
Broad range, confident energy, which creates a safe space.
For clients, yeah, and Paula, compassionate. And Trish Dooley, thank you, Trish. Humor and compassion. And I love that there's contrast there, you know. I often describe my own work at who I am as a coach is that I bring full permission, which is kind of like daring energy and compassion in equal measure. And so, you know, providing contrast is great too. We've got a lot more coming in here. What are you seeing here?
Well, yeah, I love the one from Melanie. Intuition and different perspectives, especially with different cultures involved. The topic of being different, that's definitely something interesting there. It's around equality.
Lovely. So some of this can also be what you take a stand for as well. There's another layer here. So it's like I'm humorous and compassionate and I care about X. You know, so starting to kind of deepen it towards from a place of purpose as well.
A quick logistical question from Helen. Yeah. I can't see the chat messages. What do I need to do? You'll notice in your chat, when you send a chat, the two, who you send the chat to, it's either panelists, which is me and Nick, or to all attendees. If you want your comments to be viewed by everyone, you add it to the attendees. Otherwise, you just anonymous, you send it to us as panelists, and we'll speak to it.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, Alan.
So thank you for all your responses. We've seen a lot of characteristics coming in.
Yeah. What I want to build on here is that this is a place for you to continue to grow. It is in alignment with your purpose. And my experience of it, and that's all I can speak from, is that it becomes more concrete, more solid, more grounded, and it's almost like a pair of well-worn in shoes. You know how like new leather is squeaky and it can kind of bite and chaff your feet. But after a while, it's just luxury to put your foot into that shoe because the leather is worn in, it's soft, it's supple. And that's really what these qualities become like over time. So we encourage you to continue the process of discovery here. And here's our request that we have for you if you haven't already done this. Our request is that you poll 3 to 5 of your former clients, and if you don't have any former clients, then polling some of your more, some clients you've been working with for a while, about the top 3 characteristics that they appreciate in you. And make it clear that you're looking for who you are rather than what you do. Okay? Yeah. And then look at the results of that and see where the themes are. There will be themes. There may be a range of things, but for sure there will be 2 or 3 areas that overlap between the different responses. And that feedback's crucial because how others see you is, in fact, more important perhaps than what you're claiming for yourself. Hopefully there'll be a correlate. There'll be a confirmation. Okay.
So should we dive on, move on?
Yeah, let's do that. I mean, I'm aware that this area is very rich, Rob. You know, we can get kind of caught in the dream and spaciousness of the conversation about who we're being, but I think you have the point. We said go forward and continue to explore that area.
Yeah, and it's a great setup, Nick, preparation for the following slides where we dive into a bit of techniques and a bit of practical stuff.
Yeah, sure.
So here's another question, which is and again, I've heard different perspectives around this, and I'd love to hear from the audience as well. Now, what is valuable, important about having a niche?
Yeah. Well, for me, and I want to make it clear, not having a niche is just fine. There are some incredibly successful coaches out there that don't have a very defined niche other than a strong message about who they are. So I want to make that clear. They really know who they are, but they haven't defined any specific marketplace that they speak to and address specifically. So not having a niche that defines your marketplace is just fine. However, my experience of having one like that is it just makes it easier to engage people in conversation. And I noticed that, in fact, the narrower the niche, the easier it is to enroll people. It's easier. It's like having a set of binoculars. You can zoom in and find where your tribe or the people you want to coach live and are if you have a clear sense of who they are. So in terms of promoting oneself, it has been phenomenally powerful to have a niche. I also find that it's enriching as well from a point of view of my own fulfillment as a coach. Now, I'm passionate about specific things. So when I get to coach around those areas, I'm more fulfilled as a coach too. So it's important that you consider that, because if you're just approaching it from a place of what's going to make me most money, you might stumble. You know, you have to stay in touch with, what is going to serve your own fulfillment and satisfaction as a coach. And one would hope that that will lead to more financial success too, because you'll be happy doing what you're doing and therefore attract more. So be aware of that dichotomy there.
And
what about you, Rob?
Yeah, and I want to underline what you said in the beginning. If you don't have a niche, that's okay too. A lot of people, professional coaches, successful coaches, don't necessarily have a niche. And it's kind of, it's what you would come up against in the training all the time. There's not this or that. It's not right or wrong. There's often more than one right answer. And I just want to, Anya in the chat has given us a bit of a metaphor here, which is the value of having a niche. She says, you're a big fish in a small pond rather than a small fish in a big ocean.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Indeed. Yeah. And I think you could take that metaphor even further. So there's some niches that are really big, like executive coaching, right? And there you might be a medium-sized fish in a big pond, right? Because it's such a big and well-established niche. So therefore, you might want to refine the niche even further. So it's like, okay, I'm an executive coach specializing in burnout, for example. There's a very specific niche. So it just makes your offering that much more tangible. So I think your metaphor really lends itself towards establishing the scope of the marketplace you're working in and whether you need to refine things even further.
Yeah, and going back to that point about not having an issue whether you do, it's like for all of you on this webinar, what is your relationship to niche right now? Like a lot of you said, maybe I have ideas what my niche is, but the relationship, are you stressing about it? Yeah. Do you feel incomplete because you don't know what your niche is and you feel like you can't move forward if you don't have a niche? And the reason I raise this is because I have come across many developing coaches through programs that feel like that. And you just want to, and then I'm offering this perspective that it wasn't that I couldn't find a niche during the training and after the training. I don't know if it was avoidance, but I didn't feel compelled to niche. I personally wanted to keep it open. So I make that okay. And I've been absolutely fine without it. And I want to make that okay, because if it's stressing you out, if you feel under pressure from it, my request is let that pressure go.
Yeah.
Because that isn't serving.
I love that, Robin. And in fact, you know, really what you're inviting people to do is just give voice to your saboteur. There's some kind of internal dialogue you have about feeling under pressure to have it, then go. But Megan says, for example, she says she's concerned that defining my niche at this point will limit my growth as a coach in case I can't find these clients. But I've also heard that it's smart to start with a niche right away so that you don't need to change your branding later on. Well, let's see how we answer that question or not as we move through the next set of slides, Megan, because I would say that the process is an evolution. That's the best answer we can give you, right? It's a process that is good to be aware of. And I hope that the next three slides we go through, which are the three ways that we're saying to find your niche, and there may be others, will help you see that it is an evolution.
Yeah. And reading these comments, they're just fantastic, because there's Megan, your comment, then there's Nicola. I had a niche before I started training. I came to the training to pursue my niche. I'm grateful and sometimes feels narrow. The fish analogy helps.
Well, I like that, Nicola, and it's nice to hear your voice on the line via the chat box. You won one of the courses I led, and I remember the niche that you were pursuing. And what I would say again is it's an evolution. So it's like we definitely, once you're clear, you should commit to your niche and go all in. If, of course, you know, you're wanting coaching to support your livelihood, for sure. But you should always, once you've established your niche, continue to keep an eye on how it's evolving and stay in the question of what is emerging within the kind of clients that show up, as well as what's emerging within me. Are my desires changing? I think it's perfectly natural within a 10-year career maybe to go through two or three iterations of a niche as a coach. Some will get it from the get-go and they will be with that niche for 20 years. Others will go through iterations and they may find it's like the third iteration where they really find their groove. So it's a process.
And as Jane says, you know, I think my niche might find me. Very different people are coming to me than I thought I'd be working with.
Let's move on to the next slides, Rob, because I think some of our ways to find your niche are already being revealed, and it's a chance for us to say a bit more.
So here we've got, and we're going to dive into some practical stuff. We have an hour together as a group, and we want to leave space at the end for a bit more Q&A and pointing. So we're going to go through some practical tips and points here. So the first slide up, for those of you who might not be looking at a screen, three techniques to discover a niche, and there's three. One is claim it. Two, past success. Three is let it find you. And we're gonna start with number one. Let's take them through claiming it.
Yeah, absolutely. That may sound a bit glib to some of you. So it's like, yeah, just decide what you want to do and then claim it. Well, I think there's a little bit of a preamble before you claim it. Is, you know, what would you want to claim? What is the it? So let's look at the it before we look at the process of claiming. the it, what are the things that should tell you that it is a good thing? Well, first of all, there should be an absolute desire and passion to serve that particular marketplace. Now, I'm not sure whether you need to have a huge amount of experience there, but you must have passion for it. You often hear coaches saying, I am passionate about supporting such and such a person in doing Y. And I think that's a great place for you to begin, is to take that sentence and complete it. I am passionate about supporting, fill in the gap, to do, fill in the gap. Yeah. I am passionate about supporting executives to transform their fear of the unknown into a profound curiosity about what's possible. So that you begin to really engage with what it is that you want to serve. That's the first thing, right?
Yeah.
And this, yeah, carry on. Jump in, Rob.
No. And that, I mean, the number two is about past successes, and I'm not going to go there, but this is claiming it. Claiming it can also come from, like, I've watched what other people do. I'm aware of what other people are doing and what I see. And some things resonate with me much more. Like some things like, oh, that, wow, that, and I don't know where it comes from. It's just like, wow, that draws me, resonates with me much deeper than something else. So Nick, would you suggest that if I feel that way for one particular area, that would be a claiming, like, wow, I'm going to be courageous and I'm going to claim that because it feels like with nothing else other than just feeling a resonance for it.
Yeah, I think it's a great, it's an absolute requisite, because ultimately the success of your niche would be defined by how congruent you are in the way you communicate your passion. So if you don't have that fire, then even if you have the most sophisticated marketing plan, it may flatline after a period of time. Because the thing that enrolls people more than anything else is you and your truth. And if you care about this work, then people will sign up with you because they feel it. So 100% is the answer to your question, Rob. What I would add to that as well is that sometimes when we look at it, we may allow the rational mind to say, well, that's already a crowded market. So let's say, for example, I'm making this up, the maybe baby coaching niche is already saturated. We may decide. So maybe baby, what's that? It's about coaching women. It may also be coaching potential fathers too, to decide whether now's a time for them to become a parent, you know, with no attachment to yes or no. So you may go out and decide, you may make an assumption that that's already a saturated marketplace because you've seen two or three people do it. Actually, what we would encourage you to do is actually do a little bit of research and establish whether that's true. And even if it is a big marketplace, look at the research relative to the population of the country in which you're living in and the world indeed, because often we're assumed something is small in the context of the coaching industry. But when we look at it in the context of the global population, and indeed even the number of managers or people within the workplace that could benefit from coaching of some form, or just adults who qualify for coaching, the opportunity is still massive. So that's something that you need to do before you establish it as well.
Nick, I just want to throw this one perspective out is, when you say claim it, I'm looking forward rather than backwards into my past and what I've achieved. And claiming it, one or two ideas come up in my mind, and they are areas that I'm passionate about that comes from a deep place, but I have not yet proven myself to myself in that area. And therefore, it feels more scary to me.
And your question?
Sorry?
It feels more scary to you.
Yeah, it's kind of, I'm just throwing it out there as an awareness piece that goes, wow, claiming something that I'm passionate about that's within me, it's a passion, it's been stirring. I haven't got anything in my past that speaks to it. It's potentially my future. I haven't yet demonstrated to myself any sort of success in that. And therefore, it feels more scary. And that's work for me to do around that.
Rob, can I challenge you to declare what that is right now?
So it's the, I use the word spirituality. Yeah. it's the, and I'll use that because it's the most common form of what we'll understand. It's connecting people to the spiritual dimension in everything they do, specifically corporate people and all of that. But it's bringing in the spiritual dimension to enhance our experience of life. And I say performance because it absolutely does. And it's something that I have...
Can I have permission just to coach you briefly?
Please do.
And I want to let you, everyone, know this is not a setup. We really didn't have this in a kind of loose plan for this webinar. So this is really in the moment. And thank you for letting me put you on the spot, Rob, because I think this demonstrates the point. So want to encourage you to bottom line here. I'm hearing a couple of important themes here. You are passionate about bringing spirituality in all its dimensions into the corporate world to increase performance or something like that. And I want to have you just declare it in one sentence from your heart. Can you give it a go?
Opening up, embracing the spiritual dimension brings the totality of our potential to our workplace.
Beautiful. What's that feel like as you just kind of break the ice for the first time?
It's like it's a no-brainer. It's like, of course.
Yeah, and I also feel your nervousness right now. Yeah. There's a kind of a frisson here. There's a kind of like, oh God, I got the back of my neck here.
Because it's something so deeply true to me that I've always kept it to myself and not publicly made it a thing that I'll take a stand for.
You got courage you got massive amount of courage, Robin, to declare that here for the first time. I really want to acknowledge you. I actually want to get a read. Who here is curious about what Robin is saying, just based on this kind of very loose description that he's made? It's not really fully formed yet, but you can tell he believes in it, right? So we've got some things coming in here. Wow, from Paula. Megan says, I'm curious. Jane Brocci says, me, I want to hear more. Zaina says, that was beautiful. Paula again says, very curious, I want to hear more. You know, yep, I believe in that. Sounds very exciting. So, Robin, thank you. I think you've given a really, really powerful demonstration of the first step of claiming it. We have to dare to break the ice and declare it to the world. That's the first step. And what we're getting the feedback from the participants here around is that there's resonance. And that's the most important thing. You know, it's not fully formed, but you already have a reasonably captive audience, Rob.
And you know what, Nick, and thank you for that. I mean, obviously, I'm going to take away something profound from this. And the lesson or the learning or the thing I was pointing to, which you landed so perfectly for everyone, is when you tap into something deep that you haven't maybe yet come from publicly, it's darn scary. And it's almost, my feeling is, that's where I've got to go. And I need help. Yeah.
That's the confirmation. It's like, I remember actually, as you say, that I heard Anthony Robbins say once that the best way to approach launching a business was to go early ugly. That's a really clumsy phrase, but it's very powerful. And what he's essentially saying is, don't wait for everything to be perfect before you declare it to the world, because it's through declaring it to the world, even when you might perceive it to be ugly, right? That actually you get the feedback that's necessary for you to take the next step. And as Helen says, feel the fear and do it everywhere. Yeah. and Jennifer says, amazing, wonderful insight of claiming a passion. And I think that's what we want to have all of you do, is to first claim who you are. That's what we did in the first slide. And now begin to claim it, what it is you're passionate about coaching. And if I may, I want to share from one participant who shared, went ahead and did the sentence completion from Allegra. She says, I'm passionate about helping leaders claim their vulnerability so that we can create more heart in business. Full stop. That's got punch. What do you feel when you hear that, Rob?
Completely. It's the full stop. That's it.
Yeah. There's nothing more to add. To create more heart in business, that's a no-brainer. And so there's real succinctness there. And I think that's where we would want to point you in your process of claiming it, is to look for that succinctness. And for you, Rob, I would say there's work to do there. But you took a chance to break the ice, but as a way of finding that succinctness, right?
Completely.
Yeah. Here's the thing as well around claiming it. Look at the process of the claiming part of it. You know, we talked about the it, and Rob gave a demonstration of, you know, sometimes it's something we're scared about, but it's an itch we can't avoid scratching. But the claiming process begins with what we've just done here, declaring it to someone you trust, and then beginning to declare it to the world. But it may also be a more left brain rational process where you begin to do some kind of market research around it as well, so that you've got some sense of, you know, what kind of material you're going to need in order to build your nest, right? So we were talking about that earlier, Rob and I. Say, for example, you decide that your niche is about coaching teenagers, for example, or coaching women through pregnancy. You might want to look into the law of the land in which you live to see what, if there are any legal obligations that you need to apply in coaching that specific niche. So you do your due diligence around it and be thorough there. So it's the two halves again, the being and the doing.
Yeah, wow. Okay, so juicy stuff out of first slide, claiming it.
Let's, before we jump on ahead, Rob, let's just ask everyone for a quick read on what the level three is here for them. Just one or two words of what the level three is. And if there's any specific questions that are raised, coming up that we can bookmark till later.
Yeah, beautiful.
So, a few thoughts on the level three.
Goosebumps.
Goosebumps, yeah. Oh, well, Nicholas says, I'd love him to say it again. There you go, Rob. Say it again, and then we'll move on.
I have to remember what I said.
Say it a different. And someone, Helen says, we are all in the right call. Thank you for that. And Allegra. Appreciate that confirmation. So Rob, do you want to give it a go before we move on?
Okay, one more time. It was that when we open ourselves up to the spiritual dimension, we tap into the totality of our potential in all that we do.
Beautiful. I love it. Good work, Rob.
Thank you, everyone.
Let's move on. Two more slides. Okay. So the second slide that you see here is someone giving a speech at a lectern with a microphone. They're obviously very confident. They're like a master of their own material. And the title of the slide is, one of the ways that you can find your niche is to stand on the shoulders of your past successes. So what do we mean by that? So I'm going to give an example, and then, you know, feel free to comment or ask questions, Rob, to just tease out more of the learning.
Yeah.
The example is my own experience here, is that when I started launching my coaching practice formally in 2007-08, it was a bit like a spluttery car trying to start on a cold morning. You know, I'd get it going and it would crash and it wouldn't, you know, and then it would stall and I'd have to bump start it. It really just, it wouldn't grip. And I realized I just wasn't that confident about who I was as a coach. And I found myself comparing myself to more successful coaches. And I, in fact, to be truthful, I lost out. It became clear to me that I'd lost out on a number of clients who had selected me as one of three coaches for a sample session. And my saboteur had made up that they had chosen someone else because the someone else was more experienced, right? Mm-hmm. You know, my saboteur was running wild. I said, oh God, you know, even though you were the cheapest, they chose someone else because the person was more experienced and they assumed that their higher price meant that they valued them. I made up all kinds of stories about it. So I wasn't feeling confident. And yet I had committed to this path. So I wanted to find a way to kind of, let the rubber grip the road so I could get some momentum and get some experience. And although I had quit my career as a journalist, I was still writing and I really love writing. And I had started to notice that I loved coaching people's creativity. I just thought, well, this is a great place for me to position myself in terms of who I was as a writer and an editor. I had a lot of experience that perhaps demanded a level of respect. I had written for national newspapers, I'd worked for the BBC. And so I decided to create a niche initially around writing and editorial development. So I became a writer coach. It's like, you have a book to write, a blog to write, I'm your guy. And I made it clear that I wasn't going to edit people's stuff, but I was going to coach them on the creative process. And suddenly something clicked. And because my profile referenced all my writing experience, people were like, yeah, I'm going to work with this guy. Because, you know, they had trust in the writing process probably more than the coaching. But what was powerful for me was that I was able to relax because I realized that my strength as a creative coach was absolutely standing on the shoulders of my past success. I knew the creative process. Now, I don't think you need to know the subject. We make that clear in our training. You don't need to know the subject of your client's topic to coach it successfully. But in this case, it was a really powerful thing to claim for myself in order to establish my first niche. And in fact, it's still with me. It's one of the niches that I still coach some 8-9 years later. And I've successfully coached about half a dozen people through to publication of some sort. In addition to helping people find their creative process through many different outlets.
And Nick, the question that was brewing on my mind, which I see Lorraine has also asked, when we stand on our past successes based on that experience, credibility, we are always at risk of being the expert because of our experience. And then where's that line? Because you're coaching them, you're not necessarily mentoring them. Can you just say a bit about that?
Well, for me, it was quite simple. I just developed a package deal. I said, you have a package and you get an hour of coaching and half an hour of editorial mentoring, and they have to happen in two separate time slots. So, you know, there's a very practical way of dealing with that. But I think, you know, we talk about the difference between consulting and coaching and mentoring and coaching. And I think if you're going to go down this road, you have to make it really clear. And we discussed that in the certification program as well, about where areas of expertise can trip us up because we can get hooked by our client. So a level of discipline in self-managing yourself as a coach is absolutely fundamental. And the best way to start that process is to be transparent about it, to make it clear. What is this? I'm not here to write the book for you, client. I'm here to coach you on who you are as a writer and be a champion for you in actually getting the job done, right?
I mean, Nick, that is an advanced topic because it takes a lot of, as you say, self-management discipline to know the difference between coaching and mentoring. And what I hear in what you're saying is there is a place for both. If a client is coming to you based on your past successes, and that sometimes your client really wants a bit of that mentoring, and there is so much value in being the coach as well.
Well, I think my example is quite specific because there's actually a technical skill that I have, right? However, you might decide to niche in the area of, say, being an executive, right? Executive coaching, because you were an executive. And in that realm, you need to make the boundaries clear, but it's less like you have specific technical knowledge that might apply to every executive that you work with. So in that instance, I think there can be an advantage in simply being able to say, to empathize with your client in a while and say, yeah, I know what you're experiencing, but then keeping the focus on who they are as a naturally creative, resourceful and whole human being. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So, Nick, listen, and for all the audience, I mean, I think that's clear, and we're watching a time clock and we want to honor everyone's time, and we have a few more slides to get through. Nick, is there anything we want to kind of highlight bottom line from this slide?
Bottom line again is don't stand on the shoulders of past success where that past success was something you resented. You might want to make a break. You know, I wouldn't encourage it as a shortcut to establishing your confidence as a coach if that past success was something that you resented or you're done with, right? Yeah. So, you know, this is a really smart move if you still have some juice for the area in which your past success was created. I'd also say I've seen people make a natural transition here very easily. You know, I think it shows up a lot in senior positions, executive people who have professional skill set, maybe human resources too. It's an easy transition to make from being an executive to coaching an executive, to being an HR professional to coaching HR professionals. As long as you're clear about where your boundaries lie, then this can be a really easy transition to make. And again, back to my point, it's a place in which you can acquire a lot of confidence and a lot of coaching hours very quickly that empower the process of discovery, further discovery about what you want as a coach.
And therefore, maybe a great place to start.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, it's like a start there. You know, you either have no niche or have no niche plus, you know, go out and leverage your existing network and build from there.
And one last thing I want to bottom line is you can do both. And I use me as an example. Past success was I was very successful in a very demanding corporate environment, and I burnt out, physically burnt out health-wise. One of my potential niches based on the clients that are coming to me are high-performance individuals who are near burnout. Now, that's a past success, if you like. I can word it in that way. And I can do that, and I can coach that niche. And I'm open to also having another niche, which is future orientated, claiming it, which I haven't yet fully developed.
Well, can I just, let's just build on that, because I think what you're pointing to is really powerful here. Past success could also be past experience, right? So for you, I'm guessing you're not claiming your burnout as a success, maybe as a learning experience, right? Yeah. So you can offer that niche with a level of authority because you say, look, I've been there, you know, and I've recovered. So, a client's more likely to buy into working with you, Rob, because, you know, they've seen that you've navigated that path. And again, you may still need to make a distinction between mentoring and coaching here, right? Yeah, exactly. However, you know, you have that level of authenticity there. But what I also see as possible is you might find that those people who are in burnout, actually what was missing for them was the spiritual dimension. So you put those two things together. So I mean, we're just creating in the moment with you as an example. I hope that's okay with you.
No, it's perfect. Thank you, Nick. And you're spot on.
Yeah, yeah. Often people with burnout, they're deeply disconnected from something at a level of self. And so, you know, putting those two pieces together could be a new area for you to claim.
Yeah, thank you, Nick. Okay. So We're a few minutes off the top, and we got a couple slides for you. Third, number three, we've already done a lot of conversation around this.
Yeah, we have indeed. It's a third way to find your niche is your niche finds you. And I think that that's important that we say the niche is finding you, because no matter how much we think that we know, sometimes our clients surprise us with the things they're bringing. And often our clients can reveal where our truth is. You know, they help peel back the mask. You know, we might have a professional persona, for example, and suddenly we get a group of clients come up that have a particular issue or a particular topic that keeps coming up. And we're really good at this, but it's completely outside of what we thought we would be coaching. And then that theme becomes the basis of establishing a niche that you would then go back to step one and claim it, right? So I give you an example for me. I was coaching creativity as a writer, and then I'd say 60% of my clients in a 2.5 year period had some unresolved grief. And I was like, wow, I wasn't expecting this. Now, I had had experience in dealing and working through grief, both in a therapeutic context and also with a coach. And I thought, this is interesting. And I found I was really at ease with it and made space for it easily. And I was able to use coactive coaching for that process. There were some I had to refer to a grief counselor because they were in early stages of it. So I needed to be aware of that. But for the majority, I was able to really serve them in reestablishing who they were as naturally creative, resourceful, and whole in relationship to the experience. And I thought, wow, this is great. Let me look into it further. And I did. And I went and researched, you know, grief as a subject, the different support systems available to it. I talked to several other coaches that were also passionate about it. We looked at some of the the red flags that we'd need to be aware of, and also, you know, how does one coach the principle of fulfillment around grief, for example, really dug deep into it. And I would say it's not my most active niche now, but it's one that I, as I'm building my new website, I will be declaring as something that I'm available to support. So, but it found me. I was not looking for it. It came.
So as a distinction, Nick, it's like, and it goes back to a question I think Jane, or a statement Jane made earlier on about, she ended up she's working with very different people than she thought she would be, and she's discovering stuff through that process. So in the steps, in the different techniques, 1, 2, and 3, especially for the new coach in the new development of a coaching practice, niche finds you means, as a technique, is allow yourself to coach a whole range of different people and be curious and be open to seeing an evolving talent you have or interest, and where people are gravitating to you and revealing through the mirroring process, revealing to you a strength, potential.
Agreed. And I love what you're saying about how do you facilitate this process. Then, you know, I think that the metaphor would be, you need to widen your net. You need to widen your net and be willing to coach a much broader range of ages, backgrounds, financial capability, desire, in all different areas, and see what happens. And that's how I went through this process as well. You know, my net got quite wide. I also, through this process, discovered what I didn't want to coach as well. Discovered, you know, where some of my boundaries were. So exactly. I'm just not interested in that. And I think this is an equally important part of the process that I would encourage everyone to do, is actually, if you're stuck and you don't know where to start, make a list of half a dozen things that you absolutely don't want to coach, right? And just see what contrasts that. Where does that shed light on the opposite, for example? Exactly. So if you don't want to coach grief, well, what do you want to coach, for example?
So, Nick, I'm just noticing a couple of people have said goodbye on the chat because we've just hit the top of the hour.
Yeah.
And, guys, the final slide that we had for you was coming back to our 1, 2, and 3. And Nick and I have gone into quite a bit of detail with you. You've given us such great engagement. Thank you. And for those of you who are still present, and most of you, thankfully, this is kind of like, if you've got an extra second or two, just stick in the chat box. Which technique jumps out at you today based on these conversations? Which one feels right for you in this moment? And those of you who have to leave.
Helen Fraser, all of them.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, and indeed, some of them do weave together, as we said, you know. Let it find you. When you know what it is, claim it, right?
Yeah.
They do go together. Jane Brocci says, I love the declaring it bit. Laura Ann, all of them as well. Let it find you, Zaina says. Listen to what comes to you. Good to hear your voice again, Zaina. They all do in different ways. Passion is a big one. Anya says, claim it and pass success. I think we're there.
Allegra, all of it. Paula, right now, claim it.
It's a shame we don't have more time, but as we said, this is not a definitive or prescriptive guide. Our desire here is to kind of demystify a little bit and hopefully catalyze your next step. So I hope that we've achieved that. And it's been real pleasure dancing with you, Rob. And I really, again, want to acknowledge your vulnerability and courage in being willing to step up as a client, even though it wasn't prearranged. So.
Yeah, no, that was great, Nick. Thanks. And I really enjoyed it jamming with you. And thank you to the audience for your wonderful engagement. Very present.
Indeed. Okay, have a great day, and look forward to bumping into you down the road.
And for the next session. Thank you, everyone. Take care. Enjoy the rest of your week and the weekend.
Yeah, indeed. Bye-bye.